But the hickory tree estates, there's a couple hickory trees. If you just go to a hickory tree, you might get lost. But go to the hickory tree estates and join us there on that Wednesday night as we just love on that community. We're setting them up. If you've noticed, they are starting to get the park together there downtown where we typically have our target service. The frame of the gazebo is up. So we're watching that. We're keeping our eye on that so that hopefully we can at least have one service in the middle of town like we typically do. But I think this is good. I think it's a change of pace, and it lets the community know we're willing to go right where they live, right where they live, and love on them and serve them hot dogs and all of that. So keep that in mind. I want to thank those who came out for a prayer meeting Friday night. God just began to move in that prayer meeting. And so come back this next Friday night at 6:30. God is moving and blessing. And I know there was a couple things going on, but there's some guys that just went back for men's mentoring moments while they were still praying. And man, we just had a good time in the Lord in men's mentoring moments. And so God is moving. And how many of you know that we need to celebrate what God's doing? Especially in a season right now where we are in a lot of turmoil. Our world is in a lot of turmoil. Our nation is in a lot of turmoil. And so we're hearing negative, 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 terrible things happening. Oh, no, no. Ah. Well, let's talk about what God's doing. Can we talk about what God's doing? God's still bringing people together in His Son's name, Jesus. God's still saving people. God's still healing people. God's still delivering people. And when we come together and believe in His name, His presence shows up and manifests itself. And how many of you know that's what the world needs? We can make all the policy we want to make. We can make all the laws we want to make. And guess what? People are going to break the policies. People are going to break the laws. People are going to do what they ain't supposed to do. But when they get a hold of Jesus, and Jesus gets a hold of them, He transforms their lives, right? That's what we need in this hour. And so let's keep talking about what Jesus is doing. Amen. All right, if you have your Bible with you, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And this morning, God laid a message on my heart entitled, The Cost of a Father. The Cost of a Father. And I do want to say happy Father's Day to all of you fathers. And I want to, my hope and my prayer is that I lead you through this message where God took me so that you understand what He wants to say to His church. So ladies, don't check out on me because you think it's a Father's Day message. And then if I say something and you think your husband isn't doing it, don't elbow him, okay? That's not what this is about. Trying to straighten him out. If you're not a father, don't check out on me because this is for you as well. This is for the church. Something that the church was speaking to, or God is speaking to the church right now. And so I want to take you through this process that He took me through so you can see and think about the whole time this thought, the cost of a father. The cost of a father. Because there's a cost to being a father. Just like there's a cost to being a mother. But it's different. It's different. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in Father's Day thinking about earthly fathers, biological fathers, all of that. But today we're here to celebrate our Heavenly Father. And the cost that He paid so that He could be our Father. I want you to think about that. And I want to say this to dads in the building. I want to encourage you because we live in a generation where many times we roll around to Mother's Day and you hear a Mother's Day message and it's all about a celebratory, moms are great, they're wonderful, let's not forget about your mother. Let's build her up. Let's give her praise. And then we roll around to Father's Day and we get this. Now you dads better straighten up. Fire right. Because we have this mentality that the world is telling us that men are failing. I'm going to tell you something. I've had enough of that. Because I'm standing in front of a whole bunch of men right now that are winners. I see them doing amazing things in their life. I see amazing fathers. I see amazing sons. I see amazing men of God. That's what I see. And we want to put people down all the time because that's what's popular. But I'm going to tell you something. What God sees is a mighty man of valor in you. It's what he sees. And so I've had enough of the whole idea of the deadbeat dad, the guy who's never around, the guy who's in and out of people's lives and blah, 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 blah. No. That's not who we are. We are men of God. We are present. Why? Because we have a Father, a Heavenly Father, who's taught us how to be who we're supposed to be. And we're going to look at that this morning, the cost of a father. And I'm going to read a little bit more than I have on the slide, but I did that on purpose because I want to point out some pieces of this passage this morning. And we all know this passage, or maybe not all of us, but most of us know this. I would say the majority of us have heard this before. This is what we have coined in the religious church world, the Lord's Prayer. And I always like to push back against that a little bit. Because the question leading up to the statement was, Jesus, Master, teach us how to pray. So then he gives us this prayer, and then we've called it the Lord's Prayer because he said it. But really, wasn't it our prayer? Because he was teaching us how to pray, right? So I like it when we call it the Our Father. And it says here, pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or most honorable, awesome, all-powerful, with the utmost respect, hallowed be your name. Now, this is an interesting statement and one we've been hearing a lot of, right? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts or trespasses as we have also forgiven our debtors or those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Then he says this, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, something I want to point out to you is there's really only two main focuses in this prayer. One is to give God honor, and the other is to ask of him. I want you to think about that as you're reading through that again and thinking about the Our Father. One is to give God glory and praise, and the other is just to ask of him. We're asking for him to provide for us. We're asking him to lead us. We're asking for his kingdom to be present in our lives. Kingdom culture, right? We're asking him for direction. And we're asking him to help us to learn how to forgive others. It's an asking. It's a seeking from him. And we are directing it in the sense of that he is our Father. You cannot move past that very first point that Jesus states. When you pray, pray like this: Our Father. He is a Father. And some of us don't quite understand what that means. So it's important for us to be able to read the scripture, to study the word, so that we can begin to understand the character of God Himself and who He is, so that we begin to understand who a father is and what a father does. Because if we would take that thought based on our earthly fathers, some of us would be like our father, and then we would read the rest of it and say, well, why am I asking that of him? Because all he does is the exact opposite of that. So you have to understand who you're talking to first. The great and mighty God, the God of, that created this universe, the God that is all powerful, that there's nothing greater than him. And sometimes we as a people, as a church, as Christians, as followers of him, begin to assume that he is a father who's not present, because we don't see him providing, we don't see him doing, we don't see the tangible evidence that we want to see, but we just sang, you never stop working, even when I don't see it, you never stop working. Those of you who have had good examples of fathers, you know that when you were a little kid, all you knew is that your father, and probably your mother too, but especially your father, he would go to this place he called work. And you didn't even know what he did, except he called it his work. And you didn't see him working, but you trusted he was working. Sometimes you may see evidence depending on the job. If he had a job that was more dirty, you'd see him go to work clean and come home dirty. So he must have been doing something, because there's some evidence there. But some of us may have had fathers who had jobs that there really wasn't much evidence. And so we'd say, Mom, where's Dad? Oh, he's at work. Okay. What did we have to do? We had to take that by faith that he was working, and we assumed as we got older that he must have been working because we had food to eat and the lights were still on, right? And I turned the faucet and the water worked, so somebody was paying the bills. Somebody was providing. Somebody was doing something. Maybe some of you, that's not your story. I understand that. But the character of God is he's always working. So there's times where you're like, well, where are you, God? I don't feel you present. And we were talking about this in men's mentoring moments, how we always want the manifest presence of God. We always want to feel him near. But what if he can't do that right now because he's working? Say, well, he never sleeps, never sunders. He's everywhere. You know, yeah, he is. But that's where we know we have the omnipresence of God with us. And we were talking about that, how sometimes when I'm going through something and I need to get refocused, what I like to do is go out in nature. I like to go out and see God's creation. So I remind myself of the omnipresence of my Father. He is present with me. I see his handiwork. I see what he's already done. And if he's already done this beautiful thing, guess what? He's still working. It's the cost of a father to be working, to be doing, to be providing. It's the cost of a father to give. And they give of themselves. Men, you know what I'm talking about. We give of ourselves. Many times we don't talk about nothing, we don't say a word. We just give. And we get back after it and we give. And if I asked you, probably almost every one of you would raise your hand that you've worked jobs in your past because you wanted to give something to your family, not because you liked the job, not because you enjoyed the job. You actually hated it, but there was a motivation that got you up every morning and to get yourself there, because there was some kids in that house of yours and there was a wife beside you that said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to work because I have something that I have to give to them. That is a characteristic of God. He is a father who gives. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Because we have a heavenly Father who it is his desire to give us our portion for today. How do I know that? Well, when his people were wandering in a wilderness, every day he gave them bread that they called manna. He provided for them every day to make sure that they were okay. He will do the same for us. Do we have manna fall from the sky? No, probably not. But we have his provision every day. Because a father gives. And there are four things I want to talk about this morning that a father gives. It's a progression that God showed me. Now, I understand that fathers give way more than this. I understand that our Heavenly Father gives way more than this. But I believe that these are general enough that we can understand and begin to grasp who our Heavenly Father is to us, so that we can have a right view of God when we go to him. All right? You following me this morning? So the first thing that a father gives is life. A father gives life. And unfortunately, we have some earthly fathers that they stop there. That's all they do. They give life and that's it. But that's not our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father gives life continuously. The Bible even says that he gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. That means that he is the giver of faith, and he will finish our faith. He is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the life giver. He is the creator God. And so even though you were born by natural parents, you were spoken into existence by God first. He watched you being formed in the womb. And as a heavenly father, he loved you. He thinks good thoughts towards you. He has good plans for you and for your life. So he is a life giver. That's what a father must do. You can never be a father unless you give life. And God, our Father, is a life giver. And I want you to understand this. It doesn't stop at conception. It doesn't stop at birth. It doesn't stop at new birth, when you're born again, when you receive Christ as your Savior. It doesn't stop there. Every day, God, our Heavenly Father, is putting breath into our lungs and allowing us to have life here on earth, but more importantly, life in his kingdom with him. He is the life giver. Do you understand that? That's why we should get up every morning and thank God that we have been given this day. Because he's the life giver. The next thing that a father does is a father gives love. Father gives love. A father doesn't give love like a mother does, but a father gives love. You say, well, how does the Heavenly Father give love? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us he is love. So we don't even know love unless we know God the Father. When we get to know him and understand who he is, we begin to understand love. But a father gives love differently sometimes. Sometimes a father gives love by making sure there's food on the table. Sometimes a father gives love by not being with you because he's working overtime to make sure that that special thing you wanted is provided for you. Sometimes a father will get an ice cream machine for a graduation party, even though they think the price of it is ridiculous. I love you, Allison. It's a cost of being a father. It's a sacrifice of doing something you don't really want to do, but because the person you love, you do it for. That's love. And we're going to hit on this a little bit more later, but our Heavenly Father paid a great price for us because he loves us. He loves us. And he gives love, and he doesn't stop giving love. It's the only thing he can give because he is love. So that's the second thing a father does. The third thing a father does is gives leadership. Now, this is a progression that you need to see, dads and moms and people of God, even if you're not a mom or a dad, because you can do this in the spirit world. You can do this in the church world. You first have to give life. Once life is given, now you can give love. Some people stop short, only give life. Some people begin to give love, and they think that that's enough. And we live in a generation now that I call it free-range parenting. Some of you are laughing, so you know what I'm talking about. But we think that we're supposed to just let these kids just kind of scurry around and do whatever they want to do and make their own decisions. And if the three-year-old wants to take his or her crayon and draw on the wall, well, maybe they're just artistic, and so they're expressing their... What? If we don't keep moving in the progression and we just give them love, then there is no purpose. There's no direction. So a father also must give leadership. Father comes on along and says, no. That's not the right way to go. Well, why not? I want to go there. Well, you see that big semi-truck coming down the road? If you go in the middle of the road and you decide to play with your toys there, that semi-truck will run you over. So no, that's not the place to be playing. Over here is the place that's safe to be playing. A father is supposed to give leadership and to lead by example first, but also to explain things and to show things and to give examples and to walk alongside. A father must lead. And that doesn't mean that fathers can't every once in a while, but it doesn't mean that often they just sit down and be like, okay, you go do that, and you go do that, and that's a boss. A leader is involved. A leader's walking the same path. And the child has the opportunity to follow. And what we are supposed to do when we come to Christ is to make him the Lord of our life. But when we take the culture of the world we live in and apply it to Christianity, we think then what we get to do is dictate to God what he's supposed to do for us. No. That's not scriptural. That's not biblical. That's not what the Bible says at all. What we're supposed to do is take up our cross and follow him in his leadership. Because guess what? He knows where he's going. It's interesting. I already picked on Allie, so now I'll pick on Emma because she's not in here. She just started driving. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all pray for me and Alicia. She's doing good, though. She's doing good. But it's interesting, whenever a child begins to drive, that we could have went somewhere 100 times. But as soon as they're in the driver's seat, they have to be given direction on how to get there. Because they don't know how to get there. See, the Father, come on, church, the Father knows how to get there. We don't follow His leadership. If all we want is to come to church and receive life and love, and then we think we get to dictate to God what we get to do and don't get to do, and no, that's not how it works. God the Father sets the order of our life, and He leads us. But then this is the beauty of it. The fourth progression in a relationship with a father is what a father gives is then He gives liberty. So after the Father has given life and love and leadership, meaning He set the boundaries, He's given you the path, now the Father begins to give liberty. And I love the point where Abraham is following God, he's following His voice, and he comes to God and he says, okay, God, which way am I supposed to go now? Heavenly Father says to him, you choose. Because whichever way you go, I'm going to be with you. That moment where we're taking Emma and putting her in the driver's seat, and we're by faith saying, we trust in you. We're giving you liberty to operate this thing. We're still here. We're still giving you the leadership you need. But we're giving you the liberty and the freedom. See, because true freedom comes through us first trusting the leadership of the Father. You want to see a person whose life is out of control, out of balance. They're just crazy. It's a person who feels like they have no freedom. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, it's kind of like this. When a human being feels like they've been cornered and they can't move, and they start to act out. They start to go crazy because there's no freedom. That's why you see people who are dealing with addiction, they act so crazy and do such crazy things. Yeah, sometimes it's because of the source of the addiction, but really it's because they feel like they have no freedom. It's because they don't. They're completely controlled by the substance that they're addicted to. There's no freedom, so they do crazy things. But you see, when true freedom comes, when true liberty comes, we become at rest and at peace, and we're easy, and we realize, hey, because I have guidelines, I have safety. And because I first have the leadership of the Lord, now I have safety in that, and I have freedom in His leadership. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? See, that's the key to understand. The Bible says that truth makes free. So when we receive the Word of God, Jesus, He is truth. He makes us free, and He gives us that liberty. What is the truth? That He is our Savior and our Lord. So He rescued us, gives us life, gives us His love, but then He gives us His leadership. And within the confines of His leadership, we have freedom and we have safety. And this is what a father gives, church. It's what a father gives. And this is the cost of a father. At times, a father has to let go when they don't always want to let go. A father has to trust. And that can be scary. Y'all know it can be scary to trust sometimes, right? Are you slouching down because you're afraid I'm going to call you out next, AJ? Or just teasing you. You follow what I'm saying? See, this is what a father has to give. I want you to think about this, and we're going to move on. How crazy was it that God the Father gave His only begotten Son the liberty to come to earth and to take on the nature of humanity and become a person? That's freedom. That's trust. Say, I trust Him enough to let Him leave His place with me. We are one. And they were still one, even though He had a bodily form. And don't ask me to explain it, because I can't. And anybody that tells you to that they can, I'm going to tell you they're probably lying to you, because it's God. It's only how God works. We don't always understand how He works. But the Father trusted the Son to come and do that. The Father trusted a woman named Mary and a man named Joseph to take care of this boy in bodily form. The Father trusts us with His message and gives us freedom and liberty in those things. And you see, I have to understand, that's why religion is so bad, because religion becomes confining again. And if we have pure and undefiled religion, like the Bible talks about, that's freedom. That's us giving freely, making sure that the widows and orphans are taken care of and we're doing the right thing. But when we get so about what we do and don't do, most of the time what we don't do, we get so focused on those things, we begin to make people feel like there's no freedom. But God gives us freedom, and God trusts. And God trusts us enough, get this, church, He trusts us enough to fail. This is a tough one for me to begin to understand. He gives us enough room to fail and make mistakes. And He comes in and says, okay, get back over here. Come here. We ask for forgiveness. We come back in. He says, my grace is sufficient. My mercies are new every morning. Now let's get back on track. Come on, let's go. He trusts us enough in those moments, because He trusts in His leadership. Can we trust in God's leadership so that we can move freely in liberty? So, thinking of that, I want to wrap this up. I'm not going to preach long this morning. Now, this may take me a half an hour, but I promise you, I'm not going to preach long this morning. Some of you got the joke. I want you to see this picture real quickly before we move on. They can post that picture for me of the Father and the Son. Maybe some of you have seen this before. But this is the heart of a father who wants to give. And I know that this isn't a great depiction of Father God, because He's endless, so it never runs out, right? But this is His character. That He'll give us everything. Here you see this picture of a father who keeps taking pieces of himself so he can give it to his son, his child. And he's got one more piece he's giving to make sure his son is whole. Do you know that it is the Heavenly Father's desire that we be whole? That's His desire. That's why He keeps giving. He keeps giving life. He keeps giving love. He keeps giving leadership. And He keeps giving liberty and freedom in our life. And when we do mess up, make those mistakes, we find a hole in us again. Father brings us in, gives us another piece of Himself, completes us once again. So I want to talk about this, because we've talked about the Father. We've talked about our Heavenly Father. But now we have to understand what our response is to His love, His life, His leadership, His freedom, His liberty He gives us. What is our response? And there are three examples we see in the scripture of three kids that I want to talk about. There's one who strays, there's one who stays, and there's one who is sent. I want you to think about that. And we may have been all three at some point in our life with the Heavenly Father. But I believe that as we look at the characters that are in the Word of God, it'll help us understand what is our proper response to the Father in every situation. The one who strays, the one who stays, and the one who is sent. As I was praying about this message and asking God how He wanted me to wrap this up, because, you know, we can talk about the Father and, oh man, yeah. We have such a loving Father. It's so great. Heavenly Father is amazing. Okay, but what's our responsibility to that? We must respond to that. And so I want to just read some passages of Scripture to you. In Luke chapter 15, we find the three lost things. The first is the lost sheep, then the lost coin, and then the lost son, or the what we have called the prodigal. And so I'm just going to read a few portions of that scripture in Luke 15 about the prodigal. It says here, "And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me,'" here's that word again, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Now many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. I want you to notice that, though. He comes to his father and says, "Give me my share." Real quickly, let me hit on this. The son had already strayed from the father in his heart when he was coming and asking for his share. The son was already misinterpreting and misunderstanding the leadership of the father and what the father wanted to do and the responsibility of the father at that moment. And that son thought, no, I want to be out on my own. I want to do my own thing. I want to be my own person. And you know what's interesting is the father trusted the son enough to give him his share. And here we see the one who strays. The one who walks away from the safety of the household and the safety of the life and the love that the Father has provided, walks away from it all and wants to experience life in a different manner. And we can read into the text a little bit because it talks about how the Father was always looking for the Son to return, that no doubt this was heartbreaking for the Father. It broke the father's heart to see this happen. But the father waited. Father waited. And the one who strayed, after he had lost it all, and he's getting ready to eat pig slop, the Bible says he comes to himself. He's like, man, even the servants in my father's household have it better than I do right now. I'm just going to go back, repent, and just say, let me just be a servant in your household. And he returns. Now, church, I want you to think about this for a minute. And what I'm about to say is not to give excuse for sinful behavior, to give excuse for not living for God. I don't believe in that. I don't think we excuse our sin. That's not what I'm saying. But how many know that some of us are knuckleheads and we make dumb decisions and we decide to go astray. And many times we're like the one son who strayed, and we come back and say, I will just be a humble servant. I'm not worthy to be called a son anymore. We beat ourselves up. But I want you to see in the text what is really happening here. That even though the father knew the son was making the wrong choices and making the wrong decisions, the father stood in faith and trusted that the life and the love and the leadership that he had given to his son, and now in the midst of the liberty that he was giving his son, that those things would come back to him at some point. That's why God says when you train a child in the way they should go, when they're older, they will not depart from it. Why? Because God the Father himself trusts in his word. And when the word is planted in our hearts, he knows we can't run from it. And no matter how grueling, how hard it was for the father to wait, he waited and he trusted. He didn't go running down his son. He stayed in his place. How many know Heavenly Father doesn't move? He changes not. He just sits and waits because he's always working. And he believes that the word that is working will bring them back. I know it's our free will, it's our choice. I'm not saying that people have to be saved when they hear the word. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that if Father God trusts the word enough, then how about us human beings who are flawed keep trusting the word of God? And let's just keep speaking the word of God over our family members and our friends. Let's just keep declaring the word of God. And every chance we get, we give them that word of God, believing that they're going to come back. But we don't go running people down. We don't go chasing after them, because we have faith that God himself is working by his spirit. That's the one that goes astray. But then there's another son, a son who stays. And the Bible says this, that after the younger one had returned, verse 28, but he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you. I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours Cain, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. See, sometimes we think we're being the good child because we stay. We do everything we're supposed to do. We follow all the rules. We cross all of our T's, dot all of our I's. But what's really happening inside of our hearts? Are we really following the leadership of the Father? Are we really connected with him? Do we really understand what is available to us? Or are we also treating ourselves like a servant, like a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God? And as long as I just keep doing what I do, then maybe one day I'll earn my Father's love. I'll earn my Father's trust. Maybe one day, no. His grace has already provided all of that. We don't have to earn anything. In all these many years, the one who stayed missed it. He was there. He was present. I can tell you, yes, I've strayed. I've sinned. But I've never strayed from the church. It's not my story. I wouldn't call myself a prodigal. I wouldn't say that I went out and had to come back. That's some of your stories, and that's fine. I love everybody's story. I'm not putting anybody down, okay? But my story is the guy who stayed and then got an attitude about it. Because I watch people come and go. I'm not just talking about the church, this church. You understand that, right? I'm talking about people in relationship with Jesus. I watch them come and go. And I thought that I was supposed to get angry for the way they treated my father. They didn't do anything to me. But they treated God wrong. They played with his gifts. And I got an attitude about it. And I started complaining to God about it. And this is how God responded to me. You've been with me the whole time. What's the problem? If I can love them, you can love them too, Joe. If I can receive them back, you should be able to receive them back. The truth is, Joe, is you also have not understood my grace. You've been here, but you've never really caught on to what I've been teaching you and leading you in. That's why people can go to church their whole lives, but never get it. See, it's not about us being perfect people. And that's hard for me sometimes to get. Because I started having this mentality as a young age that I got to be perfect. People are watching me. I can't make a mistake. And man, I'm going to tell you right now, in my life where I am, it's real easy for me to give you guys grace. It's real easy. I'll come alongside, hey, get your chin up. Let's go. Let's keep going. It's all right. Let's keep trusting God. But when it comes to me, for some reason, I have a major issue of giving myself grace. I think I got to have everything perfect. I got to make sure that the stalls are clean. I got to make sure that seed's in the field by the time that the Father wants it done. I got to make sure that the harvest starts on time and that it's finished on time. And I have to do this and I have to have all this proper order and I have to serve my Father just right. And if I'm not careful, I will become bitter at my brothers and sisters when I feel like God is so gracious to them and he's not been gracious to me. But the truth is, Joe has not been gracious to himself. All the while, the Father has been saying, all that I have is yours. It's yours. So we can be the one who strays or the one who stays. We still miss it. We still miss it. There's a third son that I want to talk about this morning. I'm going to read a very well-known passage of Scripture. The Bible says this in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but could receive eternal life. The cost. Sometimes the cost is great. And the giving feels like too much. I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could take my only son, because I only have one son. I have two daughters. I don't love my son more than my daughters, but I'm just saying, I got one boy. He's my only shot to carry on the Turner name. The cost of a father to say, I love you so much. And I love you so much. And I love you so much that I have a son that I have sent. This one hasn't strayed. But I'm not asking this one to stay. I'm asking this one to be sent. On your behalf. So that he could pay the penalty for your guys' mess ups. So that I could bring you into my family. And we could be one. See, this is where we've missed it, church. We do get focused on the strays in the church world, and we're trying to catch the strays back in. But that's only because we want everybody to stay. Let's gather everybody up. Everybody stay here. Everybody stay in the safe place. Everybody stay in the safety of the confines of the rules that we set for the church. Everybody stay. When our Heavenly Father is saying, go. Go. I bring you together to encourage you, to lift you up, to build you up, to strengthen you, so I can send you out. I'm not asking my sons and daughters to come and be people who stay. I'm asking my sons and daughters to follow the footsteps of my only begotten Son and to be sent. Will you be sent ones this morning? Are you willing to step out into an ugly, sinful, dark world and be the only light shining? Will you be a sent one this morning? Will you trust in the leadership of the Father enough to take the liberty He's given you and to step out into this crazy world and bring sanity to it by the name of Jesus Christ? See, God's not asking us to stay. He's been asking us to go. And our response to the life He's given us, and to the love He's given us, and to the leadership He's given us, and to the liberty He's given us, is to say, yes, here I am. Send me. Let me be Jesus to the world around me. In my fallen state, I'm not going to get it right, Father, but I trust you that you're going to guard me, you're going to protect me, you're going to pull me back in when I screw it up. But yes, sign me up. I'll go for you. Wherever that means, if that means I go to work every day and I be a strong man of God that provides for my family, let me be a godly man in that place that I work. That people can see Jesus through me. Or whether it means that I've been sent to Africa to preach the gospel, those are the two extremes. We're all sent. We're sent under the leadership of our Heavenly Father with the liberty that He's given us because He trusts us. He trusts that the word that He's put in our heart and the transformation power that He's put in our life will go and change somebody else. So we can get scared and we can get bitter and we'll do one or two things. We'll either stray or we'll stay, but we'll never accomplish what the Father really wants us to accomplish. If you'll stand to your feet this morning. God has given us an invitation to come to the table. Why? Why do we come to the table? Just so we can stay and hang out with Him? No. So He can provide for us what we have need of, so that we can step into the world and be His people. Some of you this morning may be one that's strayed. And this is what God's saying to you. Come back home. Just come back home. It's a lot easier than the prodigal son. He had to make a journey. For you, it's just one step. Just turn around and go like this. And God, our Heavenly Father, will be waiting there for you to embrace you with His love, to strengthen your life, and to guide you through this life. Maybe you've just been hanging out and staying. Maybe you've gotten bitter. You watched people do different things. How come they always get away with this? That's what my kids like to do. Well, you let the other one do this. It's what we do with God sometimes. So maybe some of us need to come forward this morning and say, God, forgive me for just staying. Forgive me for taking for granted all that you have provided for me and thinking that I had to earn something myself or do something myself when it's all been there for me. And I haven't taken of what you have provided for me. But I hope that all of us have been challenged to be the third type of child. And let us be sent. Let us answer the call to be sent this morning. Wherever you are, whether you've strayed and you're ready to come back home, whether you're just staying and hanging out, or whether you're ready to be sent, I'm going to give you an invitation right now. And I'm not asking you to do some small gesture by just speaking to yourself in your heart. No. I'm asking you to make a big gesture. And I want you to step out of your seat. I want you to come up front. You can kneel at the altar. You can stand up here. But make a big gesture to God this morning. Your Heavenly Father on Father's Day. Tell Him, I'm not going to stray anymore. Or tell Him, I'm not just going to hang out and stay here anymore. I'm not going to stay in my grief anymore. I'm not going to stay in my pain anymore. I'm responding. I'm coming to the table this morning, Father. I'm responding so I can be sent by you this morning, Father. Let's just lift our hands. Some of us are already pressing in. If you're not, come on, press in. Just start talking to God. If you need to repent, repent. It's okay. It's what He wants to hear from you. If you need to make a commitment, then make a commitment. But just start talking to God as they begin to sing. Let's move in to intimacy with God right now. Let's